In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I've spent something like 17 years now in ordained ministry, and before that I spent quite a few years in electrical engineering. And in fact, that's what moved me to Santa Clara Valley in 1981, was my engineering job. When I was in my late 20s, I was given my first big assignment in my engineering job. I was assigned as project manager for a system that controlled the electric power distribution in and around Caracas, Venezuela. And after the system was designed and tested in our facility in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, I was contracted out by my company to AT&T de Venezuela to go there and to supervise the installation and the startup, do some additional tests, and then train the electrical dispatch operators how to use the system. So I was so excited to be a 20-something-year-old being given that kind of authority. And I remember so vividly having the company place me in the Hotel Tamanaco, which is this glorious, like right out of a Humphrey Bogart movie kind of a setting, just a beautiful hotel that is on a mountainside overlooking the city of Caracas. And so I remember standing out on the balcony with the software development engineer who was my teammate in doing this startup. And we looked out over this stretch of lights of the city that went pretty much to the horizon. And I remember saying, look at this. It feels like we're on top of the world here. It just feels like the sky's the limit. There's just no limit to what we can do. Well, what I overlooked in this measurement of my own self-importance was that what I had also accomplished during that first month was missing a month of my infant daughter growing up. And I ended up being in Venezuela for about 3 months for that particular trip. And I had a couple of trips back to the U.S. But, you know, basically I ended up losing 3 months of seeing my daughter grow up. But what I also lost was that during that amount of time being away, my wife Ruth found out she was fully capable of running the house without me. And so when I got home, we kind of had to readjust our relationship, you know. Like when she'd leave the house, I'd say, well, where are you going? She'd go, why do you need to know? I go, well, I'm your husband. Oh, well, you weren't here for the last 3 months. You know, I ended up having a value system, a wisdom that I was using that was all filled with earthly wisdom, that I'm going to make that career path work. I'm going to make my position as a project manager and make me president of a company before I'm 30. And, of course, that didn't happen. But, you know, what I also realized much later in life was that I also ended up losing any accounting of heavenly wisdom in the way I was running my life. And, you know, it took me years, to recover from that mistake. So I guess that's part of what I want to share with you this morning, because in that time of my being away, not just that one trip, but I traveled all over the place, and I just didn't worry about how long I was going to be here, where my next trip was going to be, if it was going to somehow advance my visibility. And the result was that my kids really saw me as the person that was going to fulfill all the times Ruth said, wait till your father gets home. And my kids really ended up fearing me, not loving me. Well, maybe they loved me, but what I saw was fear. And it took years for me to recognize that, and it took me even more years to fix it. I really had to invest a lot of energy and a lot of focus to let my kids know how much I love them. And it was after high school, really, before we had that kind of loving, trusting relationship. And that's a heavenly wisdom being followed instead of an earthly wisdom. One of the women mystics of the Middle Ages is Catherine of Siena, and she wrote this message for implanting wisdom in the youth. Make two homes for thyself, my daughter, one actual home, and the other a spiritual home, which thou art to carry with thee always. So how much attention do you and I give to our spiritual home? Our spiritual home. And is that home a place where we are nurturing the growth of our spiritual wisdom? These lessons today are all about our paying attention to spiritual wisdom and seeking it out and valuing it and helping to nourish it and focus our lives on it. In the gospel lesson today, when Jesus' followers were arguing about who would be sitting next to him in the org chart in heaven, that's what they were worried about, is how do I get on that top level on the org chart? And Jesus said, whoever wants to be the first must be the last of all and servant of all. Jesus really didn't scold them, which seems like that's amazing constraint that he didn't. But he did make the point that while they were arguing about their self-worth and their importance in this heavenly seating assignment, the position that God would give them would be based on a completely different set of criteria than what they even had in mind, of what they were considering. You and me being followers of Christ requires that we put the needs and the welfare of the vulnerable and of the powerless above what we want for ourselves. That's the message Jesus was giving when he held that child. James says that that is wisdom from above. And there are lots of examples of this kind of down-to-earth servanthood that happens around here all the time. And I think we can be proud of that. That it is a focus that we make sure happens. It's ministry that doesn't show up on a Sunday bulletin, but it's happening in our lives all the time. A few examples: donating money to people we meet at store entrances and on the streets, saying, I've got money, they don't, I can spare a few dollars to help them. Donating time to an important cause to help the homeless or to help the lonely. I've found out, it took me a couple years of being here to find out there are people who among our members who do all sorts of volunteer work and don't say a word about it, just silently go about volunteering time to help making cards, sending cards, calling and visiting homebound friends, fixing things. You know, in a plant like this, things need fixing all the time. In people's homes, things need fixing. And maybe there are people who don't have the ability to climb on a step stool, or they shouldn't, by doctor's orders, be climbing on a step stool. And people show up from here just to help change a light bulb. This is what being a faith community is about. That's what our being a faith community is about, is to serve each other and to create new ways to serve other people outside our community, like the craft projects that Dee sponsors at Chamberlain's. What a wonderful way for us to let the staff know that we know they're there, to let the children at Chamberlain's know that we know they're there, and to be stuffing these snack bags for hungry school children at the community food bank. I was told as a child in my rearing, and I have shared this before, that I was taught I had a lot to learn. Every adult knew a lot more than I did, and I should never assume I had much of any importance to contribute. What I was taught was not humility. It was low self-esteem. And that's not what Christ was teaching at all. He was teaching humility, not low self-esteem. Jesus taught that every one of us is a child of God. And this reality is so powerful because it invites us into a humility that shows itself in lives of servanthood, in empowering people who have no power, in offering our love to people who may have never felt love from anyone before. So we're being given a challenge today to take good care of our spiritual home. I love that imagery of a physical home and a spiritual home. And the spiritual home is the one we carry with us always. And we are to continually study and put into practice Jesus' lessons about spiritual wisdom and understanding. Jesus' brother, James, promises that the result of that life that we read in the epistle lesson today, he said, the result of that kind of life is pure and gentle and peaceful, full of mercy, willing to yield, and filled with assurance of God's presence. I could use more of that in my life, couldn't you? I want more of those things in my life. I welcome you to join me in this life journey of faith, this alternate approach to life that we as Christians have been invited into. This is indeed what it means to be the people of God. Amen.